Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2020, and it is so good to come to you on the first day of June on my vacation from work. It feels just fantastic. The weather has turned real summer-like. I don't think we have any more of those cold, strange May days anymore. Everything looks like real summer is here, and it's bursting out all over. And it's so good to be with you today on the program that I love to do on Mondays and Thursdays. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to come back to Iran. We've been doing some very important Bible studies, but I want to talk specifically about Iran today and the incredible, inhumane, unjust happenings that continue to go on in this nation of people that are struggling every day for their freedoms. But I want to talk this morning about a case, and in all of my research, it is kind of a rarity, although it happens in Iran not very often in this way. Because when I talk about this case, I talk about honor killings all over the world, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and other nations like this. This case is rather unique. It does happen, and it's just inhumane. I'm talking about the case of 14-year-old Romina Ashrafi. Romina Ashrafi, who was beheaded by her father. When I first saw her picture, beautiful girl, young, seemingly innocent, and then I read this story, I was absolutely horrified. As I mentioned to you, I've been doing human rights now for about, 9 years, and I haven't come across a whole lot of cases specifically like this. These are the kind of cases you hear a lot about in Pakistan. But again, it shouldn't shock me. It shouldn't shock you. This is the way people are treated in Iran under Sharia Islamic law. And I want to speak about this young girl and her case and why this happened and how horrible it is. I'm quoting now from the Foreign Desk article by Lisa Daftari, and I'll be reading the article and making some comments and other things after I read it. I want you to hear her story. A father in Iran has been arrested for allegedly beheading his 14-year-old daughter in a so-called honor killing after discovering she ran away from home with her boyfriend. Romina Ashrafi ran away with her 35-year-old boyfriend to elope once her father refused to give permission for the two to marry. Romina's father reported the runaways, and the couple was later found by police subsequent to a 5-day hunt. While detained, Ashrafi reportedly warned a judge that she feared for her life upon her return home, but Islamic Republic law required her to be sent back to her father. According to the reports, when Ashrafi was in her family home, this is last Thursday night, her father came into her room and allegedly decapitated his daughter with a sickle while she was sleeping. This is just one example of an honor killing signifying the murder of an individual who tarnishes the family name by going against Islamic law. These killings are often carried out by close family members, such as a father or a brother. In Romina's case, running away from home to pursue a love interest without the permission of her family fell into this category, even though Iranian girls are legally allowed to marry after the age of 13. After murdering his own daughter, Romina's father then turned himself into authorities and confessed to taking her life. He has since been charged with murder. Now, this is where you have to really think through Iran and Islamic law and tradition and everything, because this is hard for us to understand. Since murder is considered a matter between private parties in Iran, where the victim must, quote, impose retribution, in cases such as Romina's, the law favors the father, where punishment is in the form of compensation to survivors of the victim, where mothers generally forego the demand for punishment, and that's according to the International Federation for Human Rights. So right away, you see the problem here. Islamic law favors the man or the father. That's why this is so unjust. It follows that as Romina's father is her guardian, he is exempt from the death penalty. But this case is set to be tried in a special court where he could face possibly up to a 10-year prison sentence. Now, the end of this article, I have to say this and I'm going to comment on it. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has called for his cabinet to create stricter laws surrounding these honor killings. Well, when Rouhani was running for president back in 2012, 2013, it was reported that he was a moderate, that he's not a hardliner, that he's for the people of Iran, that he's going to create these laws to give them more access to the internet. He's going to create these laws to go against the strict hijab rulings, wearing the veil. Well, but Rouhani has always promised these things and never delivered on any of them. And so while he might be a little sympathetic here, don't get too excited. And then the argument is, well, you know, he's a moderate and he's facing hardliners, but that argument only goes so far. It's been 7 years of the same promises without any kind of answer or solution to the problem. Well, this morning, it is horrifying that a 14-year-old girl, and even though this man was 35, yeah, if I was her father, I'd have a problem with this man being 35 and her being 14. That wouldn't go with me either. However, the laws in Iran allow men to marry their family member who is a young girl at the age of 9 and 10 or 13. They can be married off. So why should that make a big difference? In our culture, we wouldn't allow a 35-year-old man to marry our 14-year-old daughter. That just wouldn't go. But yet this culture allows for the guardian of a cousin, a young female cousin, to marry her. She can be 10 years old, 11, 12, or 13, and the law permits that. This was something that the father forbade. He didn't want this to happen. And his solution to the problem is not just to break up the relationship, but to kill the daughter. This honor and shame is a culture all over the Middle East, particularly in Islam-majority countries. You see it all the time. It happens here, too. We've had honor killings here. I'm thinking of Sarah, was one of the girls. I can't think of the sister, but her father, who was from Egypt, because they were becoming too westernized, he shot them both in his cab, killed them. This was many, many years ago, 10 or more years ago. He's still on the run. But it happens here, too, whenever you dishonor the family. And the father, in this case, the legal guardian, if you will, decides that is dishonoring not only to me, but to Allah, and I must vindicate Allah's shame in this. I must do something to appease Allah, who is obviously not happy with this, and I'm not happy with this. It's dishonoring. It's blasphemous. How dare you do what is against my will, and you run away with this man who may not be Islamic. We don't know his background. But when Romina is finally caught after this manhunt, and she goes home, remember what she said to the judge? Please, judge, don't send me home to my family. Don't send me home to my father. I fear for my life. And in a country that favors men over women, because women are second-class citizens, in a country that puts the man, the male, as the god of the family, the judge refused and sent her home. And, of course, the obvious horrific outcome was that he waited till she was asleep and walked into her room and chopped her head off, beheaded her. How horrible. How unthinkable. And the law in Iran favors the man. He's not going to get the death penalty. Oh, he could get about 10 years in prison. But notice how this case is so downplayed and so favors the man and really exonerates the father. He's given all kinds of rights and understanding for what he has done. But this is unjust. This is horrific. And yet when you follow my program, you know how women are treated in Iran. You know how Islamic law favors the man. It is next to impossible for a woman to get a divorce. If she complains to a judge, and I know this on authority of my Iranian friends, the judge says to the battered woman, your husband's beating you? You must not be pleasing to him. Go back home and be obedient. This is what happened to one of my Iranian friends who complained to a judge while she lived in Iran. The judge ordered her back home with her husband. It is a society that's very man-centered, where women have a very difficult time divorcing, who can't go to stadiums to watch men's soccer games, who can't travel abroad without the permission of their husband. This is how they are treated, who must wear a veil when going publicly, and on and on. But I want to spend a little time this morning talking about the God of justice, because surely this is what the people of Iran are crying out for, justice for this young girl, justice for themselves who have been oppressed and destroyed for more than 40 years. The women of Iran are looking for justice. The men of Iran are too. And I want to talk a little bit about what God's word says about the God of justice, who sees everything, who knows everything, who will bring retribution and justice to all who have been offended like this. I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. It is very clear that this is who God is. He is the God of justice. And the specific scripture that I pray for my Iranian friends every day, that's published in almost every one of my books, comes to Psalm 72, verses 12 to 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. He is the God of justice. He does not wink at sin. He does not wink at injustices like this. And when we speak about justice, I want to talk to you a little bit about what that means. What is right? How do we determine what is just when the words righteousness or justice appear in the Bible? They are from the Hebrew word tzedek. Tzedek. The original root idea of tzedek conveys the idea of being stiff or straight. In a religious context, tzedek means that which is morally straight, that is, as it should be. It embodies the idea of equity, fairness, impartiality. Justice is the application of fairness to moral situations. Justice, when applied to God, describes the way God is. God's justice is not something just external to him. He is infinitely righteous within himself. When God acts justly, he is not doing so to conform to some outside criteria, some law or principle or standard that's outside of himself. He is simply acting like himself in any given situation. God is his own self-existent principle of moral equity. God's perfect law comes from within his own nature. But everything else in the universe is only just to the degree that it conforms to the righteous nature of God. It is evil whenever it fails to do so. And God rewards and punishes all moral beings on the basis of how they, that is you and me, conform to his standard. When he punishes evil men or rewards the righteous, he is simply acting in his own nature, uninfluenced by anything that is not himself. Every human being will be judged fairly because it is impossible for God to do otherwise. He cannot condemn the innocent, nor can he clear the guilty. He will not turn a blind eye to moral evil in anyone, nor will he punish with undue harshness. The punishment he metes out will always fit the crime, since there is no favoritism is ever indulged in by God. He cannot show partiality or take a bribe. He is no respecter of persons. The Lord will reward every man according to his works. He will pay back each one according to his ways. God's justice is foundational to the way he governs the universe and everything in it. When the Torah declares that righteousness and justice is the foundation of his throne, as it's read in Psalm 89:14, it means that the Lord is always fair in his dealings and always does what is right. The universe as we know it could not exist apart from this attribute of God. Our existence would be a moral nightmare that would be arbitrary and unfair. In fact, listen to this, the gods of the other nations were often described as being unfair, capricious, and arbitrary. But the concept of the God of Israel, held by the prophets of Israel, is one of an all-powerful ruler and king, high and lifted up, reigning with complete righteousness. The Lord abides forever, King David declares. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for all the peoples with equity. Psalm 98:9. Moses, at the end of his long life, with all his many dealings with God in a multitude of situations, could write, "Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4. God is always just. He always acts uprightly. He always is perfectly fair. He always shoots straight, for he cannot do otherwise. He must always do what is right, because that is who he is. And I believe when I read these powerful scriptures, and when I know this is the God that I serve, I know that justice will one day come to Romina. Justice will one day come to all the Iranian protesters who were slain unjustly just this past November, 1,500 or more that came out to peacefully protest. I know that the justice of God will bring Justice Rahane Jabari, the girl I wrote about in my book, who was executed because she refused to lie about being raped by a government agent. I know that our God is a God of justice. This is Tim Hughes. He's singing about the God of justice. Let's listen.
We
Tim Hughes, a song of worship, but a song that is a call for action. We must go to the broken, to feed the hungry. We must be the hands and feet that God has created us to be. We must bring justice to injustice. We must bring relief and mercy to the hurting and broken. When I think of the topic of Romina Ashrafi this morning, the horrible, unjust honor killing, and I think about what her father did to her, and I think about the justice, getting what we deserve, I think about the cross of Christ. This is the greatest example of justice and mercy meeting each other. Justice because we justly must be punished by a holy God for our sinfulness. He cannot clear the guilty. But then you see the mercy of God, the sinless Son of God, taking our wrath and our sin that we deserve. He perfectly met the law in every precept. He perfectly obeyed and kept the law. He perfectly took our sin as a sinless substitute, as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so we deserved judgment. The God of justice gave us mercy instead. Mercy. Mercy triumphs over justice and judgment. And there we see our sins, our guilt, given to the sinless Son of God. And in exchange, we are given his righteousness as a gift, as a covering, as a blanket, as a garment over our guilt and sin. You see, God is a God of justice. But we see in Jesus and the cross, he is also a God of mercy. And so I'm thinking this morning of that mercy, the justice that we deserve. And I say to you, if you don't know Jesus, if you spend your life hardening your heart and dying, you will face the justice of God. You will pay for your own sins in so many ways. God will see to it that justice is given to you. But if you instead repent and turn to Jesus, instead of justice, you will receive mercy, something that we don't deserve, but you will receive it. That is the beautiful good news of the gospel, the beautiful mercy of God. He gives it freely to those that cry out to him. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. Please pray for the women in Iran who suffer injustice every day. One day, Romina will receive justice for this horrific crime. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.